We're going to be in a couple of different places. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 11. So Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So this week, I can't remember what day it was. I think it was Wednesday afternoon. Jason called me up, or texted me, and said, so, what are you doing Sunday? He heard I wasn't going to family camp, and I wasn't going to family camp because I've been insanely busy. So he said, well, if you're not doing anything, I'd love for you to teach. So I said, that'd be great. I'm available on Sunday. It's just between now and then. I have no idea how I'm going to study. And he said, well, the Lord's good. You'll be fine. So nothing like a walk of faith. And I have to admit that even up until last night at about 9 o'clock, I had no idea what I was going to teach. And I was kind of stressing about it to some degree. But then I wasn't feeling all that great yesterday, so I just wanted to sleep. And so I just sat down on the couch for a while, but this verse kept running through my head. And I hadn't read this verse in years. And I started thinking about it, and I was praying about it a little bit. And I thought, man, maybe that's where I'm supposed to be, because I know I need to hear that verse. So maybe this isn't for any of you guys, and it's all for me. But just a little background, I've been going on a 3-week stretch of probably 60 to 70 hour weeks, and just all kinds of stuff going on, professionally, personally, and I'm at my end. So here we are. And it says, come unto me, all of ye that labor and are heavy laden. Well, I qualify. Anybody else? I think we all come to a point where we're just weary. We're just tired. I mean, life is tough. Life is busy. There's all kinds of demands. We just get overwhelmed at times. There's certain situations that just get us down. And I mean, even to the point that depression, despair will set in. Seems like there's no way out. And I don't know if that's any of you here this morning, but I know it can happen, and it can happen easily. And we can be, strong Christians and trusting in the Lord, and but life has a way of just getting our eyes off of Him and onto the situations, and we can be overwhelmed. I think of Peter when he stepped out of the boat onto the water to walk to Jesus. I mean, he was bold. And he had a lot of faith. He believed that if that was really Jesus, he could walk across the water and meet Jesus on the water. I mean, I don't have that kind of faith, but Peter had that. But as soon as he got his eyes off the Lord and onto the circumstance and the storm around him and the waves and everything, he started sinking. And I think that can be any one of us. When we get our eyes off of the Lord, on the circumstance around us, the work and the situations and the just relational issues and all of that, we can start to be overwhelmed. And that's who Jesus is talking to, the people that are just burdened, weary. And what does he say? He says, come. That's interesting. And we'll explore that a little bit later. But right now, that is the only action required from us. We just need to come to Him. It does require a small effort on our part. And then who are we coming to? We're coming to Jesus. That's interesting too. And we think, oh yeah, yeah, well, I'll just come to Jesus. But so many times when we get overwhelmed by life and we're in situations, we come to our favorite book, or we come to our friend, or we come to the pastor, or we, whatever it is. We'll go to everybody and everything around us other than Jesus. But he says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. I can go to Carl and tell him all about my situation, and Carl's not going to be able to help me. The one thing I know Carl will do is he'll pray for me and point me to Jesus. But he's not going to be able to help me. You know, turning on the TV, that's not going to help me. Opening up a self-help book probably is not going to help me in the same kind of way that Jesus can help me. So we need to come to Jesus. So he says, come unto me, all ye that labor. What does he mean by labor? Most of us have jobs, or we're looking for a job, which is just as much work. But jobs can become a lot of work. That's why they call it work. Imagine that. But sometimes it can be really overwhelming. Like I said, I've come off of a few week stretch here where I'm just working way too much. And even when I'm off of work, which isn't very often, my mind is consumed with work. I mean, just strategizing and trying to, you know, what are the things I didn't get done? What did I drop the ball on? So it becomes kind of all-consuming in my mind. Schedules. I mean, we got schedules for work. We got schedules for church. We got schedules for our kids. We got schedules for our recreation. We got schedules for everything. We got schedules for bills. Finances. I mean, we can be consumed just trying to work things out. Taking care of our houses or looking for a house or building a house or remodeling a house. You know, all of these things, family, you know, kids need this, kids need that, your wife needs that, your husband needs that, you need to find a wife, you need to find a husband. I mean, all of these things, I mean, they take time and they consume you. Is anybody stressed out yet? But that's what Jesus is talking about, those who are labor. And the requirements of this life will wear you down without Christ. We don't have Jesus Christ in the center of our lives, there's something about life that will just make you weary. I mean, you'll just get worn out. Then he says, all you that labor and are heavy laden. What does heavy laden mean? It means carrying a load. Let's flip over to Isaiah for a minute, chapter 1, verses 4 through 6. And this is the Lord speaking through Isaiah, specifically to Israel, but it applies to us as well in this passage. It says, ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, they are gone away backward. Why should you be stricken any more? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Kind of a gross picture there, but that's a picture of our fleshly condition. We are laden with iniquity. We are burdened with our sin. It's a burden that we cannot carry. And that's what Jesus is speaking to here, I believe, that We are carrying this burden that we cannot carry, because as it says in Romans, the wages of sin is death. We cannot bear the burden of sin. We cannot bear the burden of our iniquity, because it will kill us in the end. So to those who are just laboring through life and carrying way too much, those who are struggling with sin, who are trying to carry the weight of their own sin, Jesus says, come. But also, if you're trying to carry the sins of others, whether it's somebody who has sinned against you, wronged you, really hurt you, or it's a loved one who you're brokenhearted over because they've turned their back on the Lord or just refused to have anything to do with the Lord, and they're willfully going out and sinning, and you're trying to carry that burden, you can't carry that. Either one of those. If, in the case of somebody who's wronged you, you cannot carry that. I mean, if you try to carry that, you'll become bitter, and it will eat you up from the inside out. So for the person that's carrying that kind of burden, he says, come. Come unto me. And to the person that's just brokenhearted over someone who is in sin, He says, come, let me carry that load. You cannot carry the burden of sin, whether it's yours or someone else's. You cannot carry it. Jesus Christ took the burden of all sin for the entire world, for all eternity, took it upon himself at the cross. So verse 29, back in Matthew chapter 11, says, take my yoke upon you. The thing I noted in this little phrase, take my yoke, is that there's a suggestion, if you read between the words there, there's a suggestion that there's another yoke. The yoke that we've been trying to carry. We've burdened ourselves down with, you know, sins. We've burdened ourselves down with life. And we're just weighted down and just kind of dragging. I mean, stumbling down to our knees. And I can't help but think of Jesus walking down the road to Calvary, stumbling under the load of the cross. He carried that load. He couldn't carry it in that his flesh was weak. But then on the cross, he paid the price for that load and took that load off of us and now is able to say to us, take my yoke upon you. And what's it say? And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. It says, I will give you rest. Give you rest from your labor, rest from your burdens. I want to explore the idea of rest a little bit more. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 19. So we're going to pick this up kind of in mid-thought, and I'm just going to read a few verses. We're going to read chapter 3, verse 19 through chapter 4, verse 3. We're just going to explore it a little bit. It says, so we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us the gospel was preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, As I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. So what he's talking about here, the author of Hebrews, whether it was Paul or somebody else, in chapter 3, he's talking about, first of all, the Israelites and how they were not able to enter in to the promised land because they did not have faith. If you remember, they were standing there on the edge of the promised land. God said, go in there. And it's a land flowing with milk and honey, and it was promised for ages and ages. But then they sent the spies in there, the 12 spies. 10 of them came back. Well, all of them came back and said, yeah, it's unbelievable. They brought back just these huge grapes. I don't know. I picture grapes like this, but I don't know what it was. But it was unbelievable. They brought back some of the produce. They brought back stories of what the land was like. And it was everything that God had promised. But 10 of them said, but we can't go because there's giants in the land. 2 of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, yeah, there's giants in the land. But God said, go. Let's go now. And I like their attitude. But the nation of Israel followed the 10 spies, and they did not go because they did not believe that God could help them with the giants. So that's what is being talked about here. It says, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. So then there in chapter 4, he talks about, let us also fear, you know, because there's this promise of rest in Jesus Christ. But let's not be unbelieving like the Israelites were. And that's a tendency. And we say, okay, yeah, I'm burdened down with work, and I got all this stuff and this schedule and all that. Yeah, I know Jesus says, come and take my yoke upon you because it's easy and light, and he'll give me rest and all that. But it can't be that simple because I got to take care of this. I got to fix this. I got to do this and this and this. And what's my schedule say? Oh, yeah, I got this coming up tomorrow morning. Hold on a second. We got to have faith in what Jesus says. He doesn't say, only if your burden is this kind of thing, only if your burden is that kind of thing, but I can't help you with these other ones. He just says, all of you who labor and are heavy laden. So we need to believe him at his word. And we need to believe him at his word and say, okay, Lord, I believe that you can take this. You can take this load for me. You can shoulder this load for me. And we need to trust him in that he says, I will give you rest. So skip down a few verses here in Hebrews 4, verses 10 and 11. It says, for he that entered into his rest, he also ceased from his own works as God did from his. So that's key. So if we're going to put our faith in Jesus Christ to carry the load for us, to give us the strength to face what we're facing, because in all reality, I mean, any of us can listen to this word and say, okay, yeah, that sounds good, but I still do have to get up tomorrow morning and I got to go to work. Or I still do have to go back home and I got to face this family situation. And I got to deal with that. And yeah, you do. But the whole point is, it's not your work anymore. It's the work of the Lord. You need to rest in him. And that's what he's talking about right here in verse 10. If you've entered into his rest, you've ceased from your own works. But I like verse 11. And this just kind of makes my brain twitch. It says, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And he's specifically talking about the rest that is in Jesus Christ, that we no longer have to be under the law. We no longer have to strive to earn right standing with God, but rather to rest in the complete work of Jesus Christ. But that first phrase there, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. And I've always kind of wrestled with that. I'm like, yeah, that's kind of cool. We got to work to enter into the rest of Jesus Christ. But what is that work? Well, I think it's summed up in Matthew chapter 11. Come. Jesus says, come unto me. I will give you rest. All we have to do is just come. Now, if we read what we've just seen here in Hebrews, we need to come in faith. We need to come believing that he is the answer for our problems, right? We have to come and place our faith in Jesus Christ, allow him to take that load, allow him to take that burden, whatever it is you're struggling with. So, as any good sermon should have, I've got 3 points. So, but they're really simple. So we'll review this. The last one we'll kind of explore another passage. But so if we're going to enter into the rest of Jesus Christ, the rest that's being offered there in Matthew 11, we must first what? Believe. We need to believe in Jesus Christ. We need to believe in him first and foremost as our Savior. Put our trust in him. Believe that he did what he said he did when he took away the sins of the world at the cross, and he offers us forgiveness. There, we see there in Hebrews that the Israelites could not enter into the promised land because of unbelief. So if we're going to experience any kind of rest, whether it's rest from our sins, rest from the sins of others, or rest from our labors of life, the first thing we have to do is believe. Believe that the Lord can help us. We cannot experience the rest found in Christ if we do not have faith. It doesn't take much, but just a little bit of faith. Number two, we must labor. If we want to find rest, we've got to labor. But remember, the only labor that's required is to come to Jesus. Hebrews 4:11, like we just read, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. And Matthew 11:28 says, come. Come unto me. But here's the third point. Okay, we can believe that Jesus Christ can help us. We can come unto him and to allow him to shoulder the load. But we can't take it back from him. We need to remain in that rest. I don't know about you guys, but I'll be struggling with something, whether it's work or just some situation or whatever, and I'll just be, you know, really burdened by it, and I'll get on my knees and just pray, Lord, please take this from me. Help me out. Give me strength. Okay, that's better. All right, I got to go fix this. And you just pick up the burden, throw it back on your shoulders, and you take off. And what good is that? If we're going to enter into the rest of the Lord, we need to remain in that rest. And for that, I'd like to explore one other passage. It's in John chapter 15. Very familiar passage. But I want to explore a little bit of the picture that was created in the Greek that we kind of miss in most English translations here. John 15, verses 1 through 5. It says, I am the true vine. This is Jesus speaking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, or the vine dresser. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. So, who's heard this passage before? And I'm sure every one of you has also heard it taught in a way that kind of puts some fear into you. You better be bearing fruit, or the Lord's going to take you off of the vine. You're going to take that fruitless, dead branch off of the vine. And yes, I think it can be interpreted that way. And in certain circumstances, I think, you know, if we're really not interested in being part of what the Lord is doing, then maybe that applies to our lives. But I think there's another application here. In verse 2 there, it says, every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. The Greek word for take away is iro. I think I'm pronouncing it right. And you can check on it later. And there's several definitions for it. And it's the fourth definition that actually means take away. The first three are speaking more of lifting up the branch, propping it up. And I've read some accounts of where in that time, and I don't know anything about vine dressing or taking care of grapevines or anything like that, but at least in that time, you know, during the rains and all of that, some of the branches would just get heavy and lay down in the dirt where they couldn't bear fruit. But the vine dresser would come along, he'd pick up that branch, maybe slip a rock underneath it or something like that, get it up out of the dirt. But then there's another word in here. It says, every branch that bears fruit, he purges it. I've always also kind of gotten a fearful picture of this word purge, because in my mind, purge is like, get rid of it. But I don't think that's what's being said here. The Greek word there for purge is kathairo, which speaks of washing, cleansing. So there's a picture here of the fruitless or heavy-laden branch, as it were, being picked up by the Lord, propped up on the rock, and washed to bear fruit. And think of that, again, in the context of what we're talking about this morning. If we come to the Lord heavy-laden, weary, laboring, and we allow him to do the work in us, that's the picture. He's going to pick us up, set us on the rock, who is who? Jesus Christ. Wash us so that we can once again be fruitful. But once again, it all comes down to come. But the other thing in this passage here in John is the concept of abide. I did a little bit of reading about grafting, because there's passages in the Word where it talks about us being grafted into the vine. If Jesus Christ is the true vine, at that moment of salvation, we are grafted into him. Well, to graft, they actually cut off the top part of the main vine. But then they prepare the stick that's to be grafted, the twig that's to be grafted in, and trim away the bark and the dead wood there, and then insert it into a cut in the vine, and then wrap it and bind it to the vine. And then that branch will start to grow and flourish and bear fruit and all of that. But how good is that branch if it decides, you know what, I don't want to be part of this vine. I want to go do it my way, because it was working out so well. And how is that with us? If we decide, okay, well, I'm just going to do this on my own. I got this sin thing figured out. I can control it. How far are you going to get? About 3 steps out the door, and you're going to fall flat on your face. You're going to think a thought or say something or whatever it is. The whole point is we've been bought with a price. Our rest is in Jesus Christ. Our rest is in the completed work on the cross. How good is it if we don't stay there? We need to stay plugged into Jesus Christ. We need to stay in his rest. We need to stay grafted into the vine. Otherwise, it's fruitless. Pardon the pun. But we have to stay connected to Jesus continually, casting our cares upon him, receiving life from him, the true vine, and receiving strength from him. Psalm 55, verse 22 says, cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. It only works if we're casting our cares upon the Lord. Abide. Abide, abide, abide. So, like I said, it's probably going to be short here. I would like for us to spend some time in communion. First of all, if you're not a believer, there's some very strong words in the Bible about communion, about if we take it in an unworthy manner. And the only way that we're going to take communion in an unworthy manner is by not giving it worth, by not putting worth in the blood and body of Jesus Christ, or these elements that represent that. If we just, I'll eat the cracker and drink the juice, I went to church today. That's taking it in an unworthy manner. So if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, there's no way that you can take it in a worthy manner. So I would encourage you to either not take communion, or better yet, put your trust in the Lord. Surrender your life to him and join with us in taking communion. But to those of you who are believers, which I would say is the vast majority of you, I want to encourage you. We're going to take a little extra time for communion. We're just going to have the elements available. And I would encourage you to take some time, whatever it is that is burdening you, whatever labor you're facing that is just weighing you down. I encourage you to just cast your care on the Lord. Lay that down at the cross and say, Lord, this is too much, and I recognize it. And I need you to take this. I can't do it. Give me your yoke. Give me your burden, Lord. Lay it down at the cross and leave it there. Don't try to take it back up again. And then to allow the vine dresser to come along, to prop you up, wash you off, and make you fruitful once again. There's a, I lost the address for it. Anyway, in one of the Gospels, I think it was John 13. Anyway, I'll check it out later. Jesus washes the feet of his disciples. And he comes along to Peter. Peter says, oh no, you're not going to wash my feet. I should be washing yours. But then Jesus says, unless I wash your feet, you have no part with me. And then Peter, I mean, I love Peter. He's so great. He's like, okay, then wash all of me. I mean, I want everything you got for me. But then Jesus makes a point there. Is that John 13? Yeah? Okay. I got to find it here. Verse 10, Jesus says, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and you are clean, but not all. Okay, that is kind of jumbled up in the King James. But the whole point is, you're already clean. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you're already clean. But the great thing about communion is coming back, because we walk through this world. Not only are we laboring and weary and burdened and all of that, but we get our feet dirty. We go through some stuff in the world, and we get a little bit on us, and it needs to be washed off. And allow the Lord to come and wash your feet, as it were. As we take communion, we remember the finished work on the cross. We remember the body that was broken for us, the blood that was spilled for us, and the life that we have in Jesus Christ. Let's just allow him to cleanse us once again. Wash the dirt away from the world, to take our burdens. But all we have to do is come. So I invite you to come. I'm going to have Zach come back up here in the worship team, and we're going to play, and communion is available. But let's just take some time. And like, I'm thinking like 10 to 15 minutes here. We'll play a few worship songs. But spend some time with the Lord. Whatever it is that has got you weighed down, allow him to take it. Allow him to wash you clean once again. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for your invitation here to come. Lord, we just want to, as we spend a few moments here, Lord, worshiping, spending time in communion, we just ask, Lord, that you would take our burdens. And we ask, Lord, that we would be able to take your yoke upon us, Lord. We know that it is easy and light. And Lord, I just pray that you would speak to each one of us, whatever it is that we're carrying, whether it's just a heavy load from work and responsibilities, if it's family situations, things that are just too big for us, or if we're dealing with a sin problem, or we've been sinned against, Lord, just pray that you would take that load from us. Lord, we want to cast that upon you this morning. In Jesus' name.